Good morning. Welcome to LA Insight on Star 98.7. My name is Beth. LA Insight is the public affairs show for Star 98.7. And I have to tell you, I just want to stand up and applaud our guest today. We are talking to Judy Mancuso, and she is the lady who spearheaded the California Healthy Pets Act and wrote or helped write AB 1634. Judy, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much, and thank you for such a kind compliment. I've been thinking about doing a spay-neuter bill for the state of California for almost 20 years. A friend of mine back in the late 80s did a spot on TV that captured the pet overpopulation problem and the animals in their cages, and then taking the walk to the euthanasia room, and then what happens in the euthanasia room, and it tore me to pieces. I mean, you know, I knew about shelters, I knew about animals and shelters, but I didn't realize just how many get killed, and that there's puppies and kittens, and that it's actually the majority of the animals. So it was a big eye-opener. And through the years, you know, I started doing animal rescue, and then after animal rescue came legislation, and so it's been in my mind to do this spay-and-neuter bill, and I knew that it, you know, it had to be done right. If you're going to do a spay-and-neuter bill for the state of California, you need the right team.
Right.
And so this bill was crafted by animal control directors, officers, some of the top veterinarians in the state, and animal advocates like myself, and of course, a team of lawyers.
I really hope that it becomes something that the whole United States will implement, because I'm in agreement with you. I used to actually volunteer for a shelter, and when you work in the shelter, you see the horrific things that, not that go on in the shelter, but how awful it is that a litter of puppies gets brought in only to be selected, like maybe two or three selected, and the rest are just killed right then and there.
It's just the saddest thing. And then when you connect it to the dollars, because there's some people that care about the ethical side of it, that, you know, healthy, beautiful, wonderful animals, just because we can't find a home for them, should not be killed. And I think a lot of people can agree and see eye to eye with that and would want to change things in the state to prevent that. But then there's other folks that, you know, they feel like, well, that's just the way it is, and maybe the emotional or the ethical side doesn't appeal to them, but what might appeal to them is how much money we're wasting in the state of California to do this. And just to kind of quantify it for you, in the year 2005, we brought in over 840,000 dogs and cats into our city and county contracted shelters, and we killed over 430,000.
Wow.
And that cost you, me, and everybody listening that pays taxes in California over $259 million to the state.
Wow.
So if you don't care about the dogs and cats dying in the shelter, you should care that your money's getting wasted like this, when we could be using it on education and hospitals and libraries and roads, and the list goes on and on.
Wow, that is so astonishing. And this can be solved. And I've done many shows talking about how important spay and neuter is. Tell us about the bill.
Well, the bill states that an animal needs to be spayed and neutered at 4 months. And a lot of people say, oh, 4 months is too soon. That's awful. The animal's not ready. Well, in fact, they are, because a lot of cats get pregnant at 5 months. Even vets I've spoken to even see them at 4 months. So 4 to 5 months, cats are getting pregnant. They're outside for the most part. People, you know, it's better to have your cats inside, but people put them outside and they're unaltered, and the next thing you know, they're pregnant. Dogs get pregnant at 6 months, okay? So is it so young at 4 months when they can get pregnant at 5 and 6? I don't think so. We're trying to prevent those pregnancies, and actually there's a lot of health benefits for the animals as far as preventing certain different cancers and whatnot, that when you spay and neuter early, that it's quite a health benefit to the animal as well.
Yes, yes. What are some of those benefits?
Oh, gosh, there's a whole list, and you can come to my website, which is www.cahealthypets.com. and look it up, but also a great source of information and where we look to get our medical information as well as the AVMA, which is the American Veterinary Medical Association. So they're the, you know, the leader in the United States, and they have just a ton of information on spay and neuter and the benefits of it as well. So that's one aspect of the bill. Now, of course, there's exemptions, and the exemptions are for the obvious, police dogs, rescue dogs, guide dogs, signal dogs, people who are professional breeders and that do cat and dog shows. You know, we had to cover that. Maybe for animals that are too sick or too old. You know, I rescued a cat a while back. Her name was Ruby. She was such a wonderful cat, and when she came to us, she was about 14, 15, and she had renal failure. Now, there was no way that Ruby could have gone through a spay and neuter,
right.
You know. So, of course, there's exemptions. Since the vets had a big hand in writing the bill, you know, the overlying, you know, effect of it is that it's pro-animal, pro-the health of the animal. So, that, you know, we never do anything when we're not supposed to because the vets are in control of it. So.
Right.
That's the good news.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is when I went to Google this, because I knew I was going to do this interview, what came up first was all the opposition to it. And I mean, it actually, I'm sure some people will be infuriated listening to me talk about it, but it infuriates me that they're opposing it. Because to me, if you're a legitimate good breeder, you should support this. Because I would actually like to see people not have to get animals from the shelter. I would love for there to be no shelters, and the only way you can get a pet is through a breeder. So ultimately, if we could create that, it would be better for them in the long run.
Well, it seems like it. And just to let you know, there are legitimate breeders who are in favor of our bill. Now, they can't come out of the closet because their fellow breeders will beat them back in, unfortunately.
Mm.
But I do get plenty of emails and phone calls from folks that are behind it and say, look, I breed, I microchip my animals, I spay and neuter my animals, and if someone needs to get them back to me, I take them. You know,
yeah.
I'm for this. I don't want to see the animals killed in the shelter. And then there's others, and I really think what it boils down to, Beth, is that, you know, right now a lot of folks are not paying taxes on these sales.
Mm-hmm.
They sell the puppies and kittens for a couple thousand dollars each, and there's no sales tax, there's no income tax reported, and one of the stipulations of our bill is that if you are going to breed, you need to show animal control a tax ID to get this intact permit, and that's one of the things they don't like.
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, as a self-employed business person over the years, you know, the one thing that we all have to do when we go into business is have a tax ID. So
right.
It's not too much to ask.
Well, you know, I just don't even like the idea of selling animals. I just think it's just so terrible. But and making that much money off a sale, there are all these animals sitting in the shelters.
Right. And it does take away when you buy an animal. It does, you know, take away from one that could be rescued. And there are purebreds in the shelters, plenty of purebreds, and there's plenty of purebred rescues that are pulling from these shelters that need. One of them that I've been working with is Boxer Rescue of L.A., and Hayes is one of our big supporters that is a part of Boxer Rescue. They have 150 purebred boxers right now, okay? 150 that they've pulled from local L.A. shelters. And so to get a purebred, they're available. You don't need to buy one, and we would love for you to adopt instead of buy. That will definitely help the situation. So the opposition, a lot of the opposition, because I get emails, I read through those websites, and a lot of it is just purely misinformation.
Mm.
I mean, they say in one of these sections it says, oh, the intact permit expires in January 1st, 2009, and what this means is that they're not going to give out any more intact permits, so it's a conspiracy to stop breeding in the state.
Oh, wow.
Okay, that's one of the ones I've seen a million times. And what that part of the bill means is that in some places we have differential licensing where you pay more for your dog license if it's unaltered versus altered.
Mm-hmm.
And so we wanted to honor that when this bill goes into effect and say, look, you've got till the end of the year with that old license, and then come January 1st, 2009, you have to get your new intact permit if your animal is going to be intact and you have to fall within one of these exemptions. But yet, you know, so here we are just trying to save people money, and we're actually, you know, being considerate about it, and they've spun it that it's a conspiracy to stop breeding altogether. So, you know, I love to speak about the opposition because there's really no arguments out there that that I can't speak to,
right.
You know, and that our bill isn't, you know, causing this, you know, the one that, you know, genocide, you know, there's not going to be, well, a genocide. I think that's right now we're slaughtering 400,000, if you want to look at it that way.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we're trying to prevent these animals from being killed. So it's pretty crazy stuff.
Well, first of all, I want to say before we go any further, anybody who is in support of this, you need to act now, right?
It's their assembly member that they need to contact in support of the bill, and they can come to our website, they can go look up their representative, and then we need you to make a phone call or a fax and say, please, please, please support AB 1634.
Definitely, if this is something that concerns you, just take a few minutes and go to the website, cahealthypets.com. All the information is there, so please take a few minutes. It's a few minutes out of your day. Now, there's also a lot of people that talk about taking away their rights. You know, I saw that argument somewhere on one of the websites, and I just think that's ridiculous.
I agree. I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, if you want to talk about our rights, you know, well, I have to pay taxes. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be forced to pay my taxes to house and kill animals, you know. So as my right in California, I would rather not pay this money, you know, to house and kill animals. So this whole my rights thing is if it's your personal property, like your refrigerator or your
right.
couch, okay? This is a living, breathing being, and there are protections for dogs and cats already. There's animal cruelty. You know, there's plenty of laws on the books for animals. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this whole it's my right, you know, what, to beat my dog? It's my right, you know, to do all this horrible stuff or make it have puppies, you know, at one litter after another litter so I can make money off of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know about that. That argument doesn't hold up for me.
Oh, gosh, me either. I can't even believe that people put that argument out there.
Oh, right. Do they put it out there? And the other one that they put out there is this whole nanny government, you know, I don't want government telling me what to do. You know, well, you know, we're 30 million people in the state, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If government wasn't telling us to do what to do on a daily basis, it would be complete mayhem. So that argument is pretty ridiculous, too, and that it's overreaching and, you know, that we should be worried about something else. Well, when are these people going to be okay with doing something like this? When we're killing a million a year, is that
right.
still going to be okay? Or
right.
is it going to be when we're killing 2 million or 5 million? Will they change their mind then?
Right. And again, think about the cost. And, you know, another thing I wanted to know is, what do they do with the bodies when they kill them?
Well, that's pretty disgusting. The first they put them in freezers, then they go in barrels, and I have photos of this actually on www.ab1634.org under the, I think it's called pictures or graphics, something like that is the link.
Mm-hmm.
And they put them in barrels, and then after the barrels, you know, they go into dumpsters, and there's a picture of this truck that's, you know, it's kind of like a bulldozer, but the scoop of the truck is just full of dead bodies of animals,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they go to dumps, they go to landfill, they go to rendering where they're chopped up and used into food and makeup and, you know, different kind of animal food and makeup and use it as a byproduct, which is
makeup.
Disgusting. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it goes in.
That's a new one. I have not heard that.
Well, you know, when you see no animal products, mm-hmm. you know, like if you go to buy makeup or different things that have animal byproducts can be a whole lot of stuff,
Wow. Okay?
It can be, you know, dead animals from the road. I mean, it's disgusting how this stuff is
wow.
used. So anyhow, the bodies are disposed of, incinerated, rendering, and landfill. And don't think that doesn't come at a cost and a toll,
That's what I was thinking.
Our environment and everything else. Yeah. Right. So the ramifications of this, of the animals coming into shelter, you know, people just, they don't know. They don't know how many things are affected and how much money it costs. And then the human toll, the people who work in the shelters, that we expect these people to do this for us.
Yes.
And the turnover is so high, and there's worker comp claims, and they can't find vets. Vets don't want to wake up and go to work every day to kill animals. Yeah. That's not what they went to school for.
Right, right. And you bring up such a good point with that, you know, because I think having worked as a volunteer in a shelter and also fostered animals before, when you are trying to solve a problem that other people are helping to create, it's, you know, it almost makes people go crazy sometimes. So if you don't care about animals, think about the people that you are affecting by creating this problem.
And, yeah, and expecting someone to work in these shelters, take care of these beautiful little animals, and then in the end, when 5 days comes, that they're out of room, that they bring them to the back, and then, you know, it takes 2-3 people to hold them down. The animal is crying, it's trying to get away, they know what's going on. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to administer the shot, and it's terrible. It's terrible. There's footage. We have a couple videos right now. One is of the hearing, and that one doesn't really get into the graphics of it. But then we do have another one that is on YouTube, and you can access from our site, and shows a little bit more of the animals just knowing that when it's their turn to walk down that hall and go into that room, they're already fighting it. You know, they don't want to go.
Yeah, it's just such an awful problem, but one that can be solved. I mean, I want to stress that. What is the solution? The solution is stopping all of these births.
The accidental breathing, you know, so many people say, well, you know, it's this person's fault, it's that, it's the breeders, it's the illegals, I even heard, which I thought was pretty crazy, but, you know, they go on and on and on. It's, everybody wants to point fingers, but the bottom line is, if you have an unaltered animal, you're a part of the problem.
Yes.
Because it can be just an accidental birth. My sister had a dog that, you know, it was unaltered, it was in the backyard, nothing's going to happen. Sure enough, some other dog jumped the fence, you know. And then I would like to talk about the public safety issues. There was a dog mauling yesterday in Hesperia, and we had one in Rancho Cucamonga a couple months back. Mm-hmm. And all these animals, unaltered. The one yesterday, and I'm not even sure if the little boy is alive today. We hope so, but it sounded like his injuries were very extensive. Mm-hmm. I read about it last night. And they had a female pit bull. They just bought a male pit bull. And this is not an anti-pit bull thing, okay?
Right,
because
right.
pit bulls can be wonderful dogs.
Right,
this
right.
is about the animal is unaltered and that it is, aggressive.
Right.
And the little boy got mauled. Now, we hear about this constantly. We hear about the postal workers. We're the number one dog bites in the United States, California, number one in dog bites. The postal workers, the policemen get bit. And children, number one are children. So, you know, there's this public safety aspect of this too, that the animals are less aggressive, they don't roam as much, or at all, because they're not in heat to go roaming and, you know, looking for a mate. So, many, many aspects to this bill.
You know, you might not see the litter. You might not have to take care of the litter if you have a female, if you don't have the female, but your male dog, I mean, I have a neighbor whose male unneutered dog comes to my house on a daily basis pretty much. They're always trying to find a new way to keep him in because he's not neutered and he's, you know, running around.
All they'd have to do is neuter him to solve this. So he could run across the street, cause someone to have a car accident. You know, he gets hit by the car. He's aggressive. The cats, this is a huge problem with the cats being unaltered because they end up having kittens next to, you know, somebody's air conditioner in the backyard or something that nobody even knows there's a litter of kittens there, and pretty soon those kittens have kittens, and the next thing you know, you've got a feral colony of cats growing. Mm-hmm. Okay, we have a huge problem in our state and the United States with feral cats, but feral cats just don't come from, you know, out of the sky. It's right. Like they start by neighborhood cats having litters, and then the cats go wild because they're not socialized, and then the unsocialized cats then have litters, and further down the line they become wild. So, you know, there's just so many problems that stem from the unaltered animals, and there's just no good arguments out there not to do this bill.
Right.
There's just not one, unless it's in someone's self-interest.
Right.
You know, their personal self-interest. But as a society, as for the taxpayers, for the good of the shelter workers, and of course for the animals, there's no good argument against it.
Well, I want to ask you one more question. This is actually a question that came from your website. And it says, isn't this a PETA bill? And I actually think that's a good question, because PETA brings up some bad, I don't know,
right.
Images for people.
Right. Well, PETA has sent a support letter along with, we have probably 3,000 to 5,000 individuals who have sent support letters. We have over 320 groups who have sent support letters. They are one of all those other folks who have sent a support letter, but they have nothing to do with the sponsorship of the bill or writing the bill or lobbying or being, you know, any kind of active role. You know, they're just one of many supporters. And the folks behind the bill are California Veterinary Medical Association, which is a very conservative group of veterinarians. It's the Veterinarian Association of the state. California Animal Control Directors Association is a sponsor. They represent 90 agencies of city and county contracted shelters in the state. And the other sponsor, State Humane Association of California, they represent 120 SPCAs and humane societies. And the other sponsor is actually the city of Los Angeles. So PETA is not one of those sponsors. Those sponsors are all very conservative groups and pretty opposite of PETA. Mm-hmm. So when I hear all the time, it's a PETA bill, they're hiding it, it's a PETA
right.
bill, you know, I just laugh. I just think that's so funny, because it's like so opposite of that. And probably I think it's safe to say that none of the vets or animal control may even be PETA members. Nothing against PETA, but, I mean, that's just how funny it is.
Right, right. Yeah, and I have nothing against PETA either, but some people do. So I think it's good to clarify that.
Well, you thank you, and I appreciate that as well, you know, because it's just unbelievable what I see on the Internet, you know, the stuff they're trying to dig up on me, you know, and, you know, trying to link me to everything they possibly can, you know. And it's like,
right.
look, you know, I'm a volunteer. I'm doing this, you know, for the love of the animals.
Right.
I've been doing animal rescue all these years. I know the problem.
Right.
You know, my background is in information technology. I was an IT manager for over 23 years. And it's not a PETA bill.
I know there are a lot of people who care about animals, and I have friends that, you know, they say, I can't go to the shelter, I can't even walk in there to even consider adopting a dog, because it's so sad. If you are one of those people, and this does upset you, it's really hard for you to even just listen to us talking about it, there is something you can do. I mean, you're the person that needs to really help out. And what can those people who care about this do?
Well, you know, first of all, if you can't go into the shelter, which is very unfortunate, because you not going into the shelter is actually contributing to those poor little things going into
yeah.
the back room and getting the shot. So think about that. And if you could just toughen up a little bit and get yourself in there, okay?
Yeah,
because
yeah.
think of what they're going through. So is your pain and suffering going in the shelter really as bad as those poor animals that
yes.
you're leaving behind? So the first thing I would say is toughen up. And the second thing is there's tons of rescue groups that are, you know, pulling from these shelters that you can adopt from. You know, they're at PetSmarts every weekend. You see them set up all over the place, you know, begging to get good homes for the animals. And if you have a pet, spay and neuter, of course. If it's not already, get out there and get it spayed and neutered. And, you know, don't think that when you have these accidental births or that you've got this purebred dog, one of the misconceptions is these people with the purebreds or any animal, they, you know, go to the shelter and it's like, oh, it'll get a good home. He or she'll get a good home because, you know, it's such a nice dog. Mm. And it's like, are you kidding me? There's a lot of nice dogs here. And you know, so don't fool yourself. And if you move, okay, and the place doesn't take animals, don't move there.
Right.
Because one of the big reasons for people dumping their animals in the shelter is because they're going to a new place and they don't take animals. I don't understand that.
I don't either.
These animals are not disposable, folks. You don't just move to a new place that doesn't take animals when you have a cat or a dog. That is not an acceptable place to move to.
Yeah, I know.
Keep looking.
That's right.
And, you know, it's like, you know, well, they start dating someone, and they're allergic to the cat, so let's just dump the cat. Well, you know, I had that situation. I met the man that I married, my husband Rolf, and he was allergic to my cat at the time. We found this Allerpest stuff that we would rub on her to keep the dander down. I would vacuum. Over time, you know, he acclimated to her. But, you know, to just say, oh, well, you know, Junior or, you know, somebody new in my life is allergic to the cat. There's people that have had their animals 11, 13 years, 7, 8 years, and all of a sudden, you know, they have someone new in their life, and they dump the cat because that person's allergic to it.
Yeah.
Now, that's just heartless.
Mm-hmm.
It's heartless.
Mm-hmm.
And these animals are not disposable. When you sign up to be their, you know, guardian, their companion, you have signed up for life, and you better know what you're doing going into it, and if you can't take that responsibility, don't do it.
I agree with you 100%. What can we do to get this bill passed?
Right now, the most critical thing is calling your assembly member, because it's going to the full assembly for a vote, probably the last week of May or the first week of June. We don't have a date yet, but the assembly members need to know their constituents are in support of the bill, okay? So they need to hear from them. And again, going to the website, cahealthypets.com, and looking up who your assembly member is. We need donations. You can come to our site and donate. This money is going towards education, to research, of getting out these statistics in the state, finding out what the real numbers are, spay and neuter programs. That's another thing they can do. So right now, contacting the assembly member is really the most important.
Yeah, and we need people who are in support of this bill to do that, because the opposition has a loud voice, it seems like to me.
Very loud voice, because they have a vested interest. They don't want to pay for an in-tech permit. They don't want to pay their taxes. They don't want anyone shining a light on them. They, you know, they just don't want it. So they are fighting hard, and they have a vested interest. We don't. Our interest is wanting to save animals and save lives.
Now, and just before we go, can you tell us again how much this is costing the taxpayers every year?
Okay, I'm going to give you a 10-year period, and I'm going to give you 2005, and I'm going to give you 2005 first. In 2005, we took in over 840,000 animals, we killed over 430,000, and that cost the taxpayers $259 million. Okay, in a 10-year period, now get ready for this, our total intake into the shelter of dogs and cats was 8.9 million dogs and cats, and we killed 5.3 million dogs and cats, and that cost the state of California, us, the taxpayers, $2.75 billion,
wow.
With a B, billion.
Wow. Crazy.
This is a crisis. There is no reason why we shouldn't pass this bill. People say, well, it's not perfect, it's not this, it's not that. You know what? It is a great bill, and we have been working with our opposition to make sure that we get everything right so that this is a model for the rest of the United States and that it can be enforced and it does work for us. So I would urge people to read the bill and educate themselves, because one of the biggest things out there right now is the misinformation. It's just huge, mm-hmm. the misinformation, and people will listen to 30 seconds of this misinformation and say, you know, oh no, I don't like the bill, and it's like, and it's based on something that's completely wrong, yeah. you know. And it's like, well, wait a second, you know, give us a chance here. We're trying to save money, save lives, and this is a very serious subject, and we deserve more than somebody listening to somebody spew some misconception and then everybody getting on board with opposition. And yes, there is a lot of opposition, but Beth, I do want to remind you, we have just a ton of support as yeah. well.
And for those people who support it, please speak up. Please do something about it. And let's give your website again.
Okay, it's www.cahealthypets.com.
Judy, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. And again, I just applaud your efforts.
Thank you.
What you're doing is amazing, and I'm so glad that somebody is really stepping up and taking responsibility and trying to get something done about this, because this is the only way to solve it.
Well, thank you so much for having me on, and I want to thank your audience for listening and giving me a chance to hear my side of what's happening in the state of California and how we actually can make a difference. We really, really, really can.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Again, if you'd like more information on Bill AB 1634, you can go to the website cahealthypets.com. We will also have that information on our website as well, which is star987.com. Go to radio and then scroll down to LA Insight, and all the information will be there. Thank you so much for listening. I'll be back next Sunday on LA Insight on Star 98.7.